I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Ben Lawver, mayoral candidate in the upcoming Fremantle City Council elections. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for your time, Michael. Appreciate it.
Well, it's lovely. I'm hoping to talk to, if not all, most of the candidates for the various offices. You're standing for mayor. And I've said to all of the candidates when they ask, what are you going to ask me? I said, well, I'm going to ask all of you, why are you running?
I don't think I asked you what you were going to ask me. I like to go into these things fresh, you know, just in the moment.
In the moment.
Yes.
So, Ben, why are you running for mayor?
Oh, if I had to sum it up, Michael, it'd be, I really think we can have a better Fremantle. These past 4 years on council, there's been a long list of things that I've looked at and thought, gosh, if we just had maybe a little better leadership or a little different decision, that our city would be much, much better off. And over the past several months, there's been a whole wide range of people with views spanning the entire political spectrum living all across our city that were encouraging me to stand for mayor because they believe that we could and we should be a better city as well.
There are five of you standing for mayor. I don't know if it's a record.
Yeah, me neither. It's pretty amazing.
And what are some of the decision-making areas where you think things could have been done better?
Oh gosh, there's quite a few, but I think for me personally, one of the things that I would approach differently to the role than the current incumbent is just, I guess, the style of leadership. I think that could be a lot better. Up to this point, you know, all of our advocacy as a city, all of our interactions with government departments and different levels of government has all been dependent upon one person and that person's time, that person's ability, and personal relationships. I think an approach where we looked at the council as a whole, like there's a lot of really good, smart people in that chamber. And, you know, maybe, for example, Andrew Sullivan might be the best person to go talk to Simone about an issue, or maybe Fideli is the best person to reach out to the Department of Health. I don't know what those things are, but I think if we use the strengths of the council, we'd get a lot more done, and we'd get a lot better results for our city.
Now, in terms of sort of substantive areas, do you have sort of a policy platform? Are you going to have sort of more park benches or whatever? What are your key, in a sense, selling points then?
If I had to sum it up, be more arts, more practical support for the arts. I think if we're going to, and we should be expecting businesses to open up their empty shops for activation purposes and other things, that the city should lead by example and open up our city-owned vacant properties to artists and whatnot. I think that's an easy first step and won't cost us hardly anything. Better parks. Some of our parks are really getting run down. There's a few around where I live that the more sand pit than turf these days. So
you're east toward Hilton.
Yes.
And you're talking about that area, right?
Yeah. And getting around the city, talking with folks, the state of the parks is really hit and miss. So I think we could have a bigger focus on that. And then also another thing where I think, you know, if we had, you know, the city was more of a leadership position or had more leadership, we could be caring for the people that are sleeping rough on our streets in a better way. There's been almost a 70% increase just in the past year of people sleeping rough. So looking at things like tiny house villages, drop-in rest centers with secure lockers, those kinds of things just to help break that cycle of sleeping somewhere where it's really cold or really hot and waking up in a grumpy mood and having to, you know, a lot of the folks that do sleep rough, they have to medicate themselves just to get through the night. So if they had a safe place to go and a safe place to sleep, we can help them break that cycle.
Homelessness is a tough one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think there are various ideas thrown around that, in fact, we shouldn't see people sleeping on the streets at all. But I guess the council's powers in dealing with people directly are limited.
Yes, and you know, people say it's a complex issue and a complex problem, and they're absolutely right. But when I hear those words, to me, it means that there's a lot of ways that we can tackle that. And there is no one thing that's going to work for everybody, and I acknowledge that. But if we, for example, got the community together, the service providers together, and let's say we created one tiny house village somewhere, and there were 10 people there that all got off the street and had a place to live, that's 10 less people. For me, that's worth it. If we have a rest center where people can go and get, you know, 9-10 hours of rest and a shower and maybe a hot meal, and walk out of there feeling more human than they did walking in, to me, that has a potential to change their lives as well. So I think the different approaches are needed, but we need to start somewhere. And that's where the city can demonstrate leadership by pulling all these people together, because our community cares. I mean, there's people doing things that you and I don't even know about out there, helping feed people that need food, bringing people to, you know, even into their homes in some instances because they're out sleeping on the street. So, we have a very kind and compassionate community, which I think you know.
Well, Fremantle's a really interesting place. There are some. I posted an article recently by Barry Healy on the Shipping News, where he brings a Marxist view of the world and suggests that Fremantle Council main issue at this election should be fighting AUKUS. I'm not sure that Fremantle has the power to do that, but what do you think about that sort of...
Oh, I like Barry a lot. He's a really passionate guy, and I've actually known him for several years. I personally oppose AUKUS, and I think we have a nuclear-free policy that exists at the city that will be reviewed after this upcoming election, and if I'm mayor, I'll be looking at including a plank on that also opposes AUKUS, because there's a lot of questions still around the storage of the waste, what do we do if there is a leak, and then my own personal real kind of feelings towards it is that it makes us a target. If they're in the event that there is an outbreak of hostilities, that would be a really, you know, juicy thing for another adversary to try to take out. And with the shipping lanes there and with all the other stuff that's going down in Coburn Sound, I'm just not convinced that it's really worth it. And also the cost. I mean, the cost alone is astronomical. I mean, you think about all the other needs that our country has, be it schools, you know, hospitals, roads, public transport. I mean, the list, we can all probably come up with a super long list of what the $300 billion might be better spent on.
The state government seemed to be getting themselves ready, however, for all of the planning, development, all the construction issues to facilitate a naval shipyard just south of Fremantle, virtually bordering on the municipality. I suppose the city will have a role in all of that, like it or not.
There's things that we should be advocating for. We should be advocating for the better development of public transport through that whole corridor. It's pretty much a nightmare when all the traders are going into work or leaving work these days. We should be advocating for more housing for the people coming in to do that work. There is definitely a role for the city, and just because we have a naval shipyard, that doesn't mean we have to have nuclear submarines, I guess.
Now, with each of the candidates, I put up their profile that you've provided with your nomination to stand for the position you're seeking, in your case, mayor. And people ought to read that as they listen to you. There's always been a bit of an issue around, and I think you've been tied to it, about the port, working port, and whether the container terminal basically should go south to Westport at Kwinana.
How long do we have?
Well, is that part of your platform?
Well, our city actually has a position to support a working port in Fremantle. You wouldn't know that from, I guess, the past 4 years and the way our leadership has been talking about it, but we have a pretty great, good position. And there are things that would help that port stay in Fremantle. So let me just start with this one bit here. Most people don't know, or they're not aware, that Westport is only going to look at moving the containers down to Kwinana. Fremantle still gets stuck with the cars, the roll-on, roll-off, railroad, the livestock, which will mostly be cattle in the next, you know, years or whatever, and also the bulk trades, like the steel, the stuff that makes the big clanging noises. So they're only moving the containers. They have no plans to do anything with those other three trades. So I'm just get that right up front. The original decision, because I was on the Westport Task Force, to move to Kwinana, Kwinana just barely beat out Fremantle too in their whole MCA analysis, so I'll also state that. But it was based on a set of facts that they made assumptions on, that we now have data over the past 7 years that we can look back and see how those facts that went into the decision aren't necessarily the same facts that are there today. Originally, the state government assumed that they could build a new port, all the road and all the rail connections for $4 billion. We just found out last year that the port alone is now going to cost just $7.2 billion, not counting the roads, which are going to be a lot more roads, because originally, in the original assessment, the trucks from the port in Kwinana were going to go out to the Kwinana Freeway and then north to the distribution centers. I never thought that was a good idea. You know, the Quantico Freeway on the best of days can be a parking lot, but that would have taken trucks to drive twice as far, so almost twice as long, burning twice as much fuel to get to their destination from the port. But now they've changed that, Westport has, then the trucks are going to drive all the way around Perth, you know, because they didn't realize going up Quantico Freeway isn't the best idea. So now we're looking at maybe three or four times as far to get those containers from the port in Quinana to the distribution centers. So that's another big thing. Environmentally, I'm still not convinced that there's a way to build it that will enhance the sound. The original assessment environmentally, they were envisioning a short intermittent dredging campaign. So the impacts on the sound were assessed based on that. We now know that the dredging campaign is going to be one of the largest in Australia's history. So, I mean, that's a slightly different. And then also there was never a breakwater included in the original environmental assessment for Cockburn Sound, and now there is. So you look at all these things and you think, wow, maybe we should relook at this. But the one bit of data that Westport used to justify building it so quickly, so having it built by the 2030s, was their trade projections. And I, at the time, wrote several pieces for the Herald talking about how the trade projections were really high. Because when you have compounding numbers like that, you know, of course, over time, it creates the big scary graph that things look like they're going to be out of control. Well, if you look at what Westport said was going to happen and what actually has happened these past 7 years, the trade numbers are coming in at about half. So there is no sense of urgency. And I'll just say I'm not against planning for a new port, and I'm not against in building enabling infrastructure for a new port as well. But I think any project where the situation on the ground has changed this dramatically, I think we should be asking for a review of that decision and the timing of that decision. Now, one of the things that I felt was, you know, I think really, our mayor was on the bridge committee, you know, working on the bridge crossing. And originally there was a freight line that was dedicated freight rail line that was going to be built, because that's the only spot on the freight rail network where it shares with, across the Swan River, sorry, where it shares the rail line with passenger service. That freight rail line mysteriously got dropped. It was fully funded by government. It was, you know, part of the original project, but when it came back, it was no longer part of the scope of the project. Now, to me, I think we should have been strongly advocating to keep that freight rail line in the project, because one, more freight on the rail means less trucks on the road. But two, if the port does move tomorrow and there's 55,000 people living in North Fremantle, we're going to need that to move people, because that rail line can move people and freight. So to me, that was a real missed opportunity of the city to let that go without standing up for that, because that would have been a great piece of infrastructure that would have worked for us today and into the future.
Then I see one of the candidates, Maria Vojcic, I think, says she'll donate her salary as mayor.
Interesting.
Rather than take it. I wonder if any of the other candidates are going to make a similar pledge.
Well, I'll be giving up my full-time job to be mayor, so I'll be a full-time mayor. Looking at the numbers, I'll probably be a little bit of a pay cut, to be honest. So I won't be able to give up the full salary of mayor, because I do need to live. You know, Maria will do what Maria does. You know, I think there's, if she really was serious about giving up her mayoral salary, I would just challenge her to make that donation today. You know, if she can make a $160,000 donation today, just do that and show that you really mean it, and then take the salary and then give another donation the next year.
I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Ben, as we draw to a close on this interview, just to tell our listeners again, that could be three, four, five, your main issues that you are really pitching to the electorate to be elected mayor on.
Yeah, so more arts is a big one. That's practical support for the artists, like I mentioned earlier. Better parks is another big one I'd like to see us do. The third is with the imminent bridge closure. I think our city needs to be really strongly advocating for either the return and expansion of the CAT bus services or a free transit zone. And we should be implementing that now, so people have the chance to kind of figure out how they're going to be getting around during that bridge closure. And then also with on the freight side of that, implementing the clean freight for Frio, and even look at just banning trucks during peak commuter times. I think those are all things that as a city we should be leading on, and we should be working with the port and the state government to ease the congestion as much as possible. So the bridge closure is another big one. And with the More Arts, Better Parks, the bridge closure, helping dealing with the homelessness crisis with compassion and mutual respect is another big one. And the last one is probably the wonkiest reason that I'm running, Michael, is our planning scheme. You know, our planning scheme was adopted in 2007. And while it's been amended many times since then, it's I don't think it's really what our community wants to see right now. And with state government taking all of our planning decisions straight to JDAP, that's the only thing that they look at is that document. And if it's allowed in that document, they're going to approve it. So I think we need to really have a robust conversation with our community as to what they want to see, where they want to see growth. And even things like, you know, the explosion of convenience stores around the Fremantle CBD, those are allowed uses. They don't even come to for approval. So if we can make those just discretionary uses, then at least we can have some rein some of that stuff in. So I think there's a lot of things that our planning scheme needs to be updated, and that needs to be done very, very urgently. We've known the JDAP decisions were going to be going straight there without even comment from our council since December, and you know that should have been a big, big trigger for us to be starting to work on that. So if I'm elected mayor, it'll be day one, we'll be getting the pieces in place to update our planning scheme.
Ben Lover, thanks for meeting with me today, and good luck with all of your campaigning.
Thank you, Michael.